The term gypsy usually evokes thoughts of a culture or a way of life. Not so for Paul Chaillot and Scott Myers, researchers with the Animal, Plant, and Health Inspection Service, or APHIS. This federal agency is responsible for interstate control of the gypsy moth, a destructive insect pest that has been munching its way west since the 1880s, defoliating an estimated 75 million acres of trees since 1970. It's been present in Minnesota since the 1980s and has now reached Cook and Lake counties in sufficient numbers to prompt the Minnesota Department of Agriculture to institute a quarantine on the movement of certain forest products out of Cook County. Howard Hedstrom of Hedstrom Lumber in Grand Marais has been sounding the warning regarding the negative impact such a quarantine could have on the forest products industry. Hedstrom Lumber has partnered with APHIS in a study to determine what role lumber mill processes might play in mitigating the gypsy moth spread. WTIP spoke recently with Paul Chaillot, National Policy Manager for the Gypsy Moth Program.
We know that at this point in time, we need to be taking a look at what our regulations are requiring primary processors like Hedstrom's to do to mitigate the spread of gypsy moth and see if we need to change our requirements in response to changes that the industry has made.
Cook County is no stranger to defoliation by forest pests. The tent caterpillar last passed through in early 2000, and some predict we're again due for a visit. While the gypsy moth defoliates in a similar manner, the significant difference between it and the tent caterpillar seems to be one of timing.
When defoliation happens early in the spring, the tree is able to flush a new crop of leaves and sort of make up for that loss. The impact is significant, but not as significant as when it happens just a little bit later in the season, which is what we see with gypsy moth. If you get significant defoliation in a single year, it will stress the trees. The following year, they'll oftentimes exhibit some symptoms of that stress, but make it through. But if you get significant defoliation by gypsy moth 2 or 3 years in a row, and of course, when you get these population booms, they're not one-year phenomena. That's when you see this widespread tree mortality. And it's because of the time of the year that the defoliation occurs and the kinds of stresses that imposes on the trees.
Spread of the gypsy moth does not take place through movement of the adults, but rather by the adult laying its egg cases on an outdoor surface, which is then moved to another location, typically through human activity.
The females will lay their egg on whatever they happen to be on when they're ready to lay their eggs, whether that's an outdoor swing set, your barbecue grill, your recreational vehicle, whatever it may be. So if there are egg masses on those, what we call outdoor household articles, and you move from a town within the quarantine area, say someplace in the middle of Ohio, out to a place, say, in Oregon, and you bring that stuff with you with those egg masses, then you've just moved gypsy moth along with everything else that you moved, unintentionally, of course, but nonetheless. And so back in the 50s, trying to regulate the movement of these outdoor household articles would have made no sense. Nowadays, it makes perfect sense for us to be working with our regulatory authorities to try and shut down that pathway, as we call it, for movement.
Another primary path of transmission is the just-hatched larva being wafted aloft and carried by the wind into new, uninfested areas.
The adult female moths for European gypsy moth are not capable of flight. The primary dispersal stage is the tiny caterpillars that hatch out of the eggs right after they hatch out. And they'll move up to a high spot, whether that's an upper limb in a tree or the top of a light pole. And then they'll drop down on a silken thread, which acts as kind of a balloon. When the winds are light to medium, they get picked up by the wind and can move sometimes considerable distances that way.
Given the multiple methods of transmission, it's understandable that the National Slow the Spread program has had limited effect. The planned quarantine is intended to restrict the movement of any suspect forest products unless those products have been treated or processed in a manner that destroys any egg cases, larva, or adult gypsy moths present. Past evidence suggests that the processing of tree bark through the mill adequately mitigates the possible transmission of viable egg cases.
Of course, there is a market for bark mulch. of various types of bark, hardwood and softwood. And so that's a valuable income stream for these processors. And we want to make sure that, that we provide them every opportunity to take advantage of that income stream that this, this bark product presents, but safely.
Scott Myers, entomologist with APHIS and leader of the Hedstrom Mill study, talks about the study in detail.
So what we did is we set up the study in kind of in two parts, where we wanted to look at what happens to egg masses that are on the tree as they're harvested and brought back to the mill. And then the second component was to look at what happens to egg masses that are, you know, on trees that go through the ring debarker and the hammer mill process.
Both parts of the study involved similar groups of trees, 16 trees in a stand of jack pine being harvested for Hedstrom. In each case, the trees were treated with mated female gypsy moths, which then laid their eggs on the tree bark. Part one of the study evaluated how well egg masses would survive the cutting of the trees and transport to the mill.
A lot of bark is lost in that process, but there were some egg masses that remained. Some trees lost all of their egg masses, but some had quite a few left. So, and some of the females actually managed to hang on through the whole process.
Part two of the study followed the second group of trees back to the mill and through the ring debarker and hammer mill. The bark material was collected and sieved to extract any moth egg masses or individual eggs.
So we sieved it down. We got most of the bigger pieces out and, you know, like I said, found a few eggs along the way. So I'm confident that, you know, we're not going to find all of the eggs that we put in there. That's for sure. But I think we'll find quite a few. And then once we get that done, we're going to put them into a 150-day chill period. And that'll put us somewhere in October where we can take those eggs out of chill and determine what the hatch rate is on the eggs that were recovered.
All things considered, it will likely be the end of the year before the study and evaluation of the data is concluded. Assuming the results verify that bark processing is sufficient to mitigate the transmission of the pest, there will still be administrative work required to modify federal regulations. This, according to Paul Chollot, could be completed before next year's high-risk egg hatch period. Regardless, this study will not have any impact on the introduction of a quarantine in Cook and Lake counties.
Relative to the establishment of a quarantine, this study does not impact whether or not Cook and Lake counties will be placed under quarantine. The timing of when the quarantine goes into effect is under the control of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Our understanding is that it's scheduled to take effect on July 1st. We will, at the federal level, then what we call mirror that action. In other words, in addition to the state quarantine, we will establish a federal quarantine for those two counties. And so you need the state quarantine to address the human-assisted movement of these pests within the state, and the federal quarantine to address the human-assisted movement of gypsy moth and these other pests across state lines.
As July 1st approaches, it appears that the quarantine will take effect and that Hedstrom's and others in Cook and Lake counties will have to live with its conditions at least until next year. Meanwhile, Chollot and Myers emphasize the role individuals may unwittingly play through the transport of outdoor items that have become home to gypsy moth egg cases. For information about what to look for and what to do if you find gypsy moth egg masses on outdoor articles, visit the website www.yourmovegypsymothfree.com. This is Gary Atwood for WTIP.